Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Kyle. Welcome to the conversation. Today in the conversation, unfortunately, we're going to talk about a little bit about Manchester United. Lord help them. We're going to talk about the weather and tour delays. I also want to bring up, because I talk about this a lot on my Facebook, about the double standards from everybody in this world in terms of politics. And I also want to bring into the conversation, because I do a lot about paranormal stuff, about the two or three times a year when they found Bigfoot and they find out 2 weeks later it's a mannequin that was frozen in ice and da-da-da, and it's not real. So I'm going to go into Bigfoot. Is it real? What I believe and not. Stay tuned. The conversation begins right now. Hello and welcome, John 622. So also, you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. Jesus' words. Think about that as kind of going through your day to day. And welcome to the conversation. I am Kyle. And this is Blog Talk Radio. And one thing you want to think about when you're looking into this is we're going to talk about, Lord help us, Manchester United. They fall out in the top nine. They basically a 2-2 tie with Fulham. How defensively they're falling apart. I mean, but you look at someone like David Moyes, and he's had to do something that I think no one in the league has had to do ever. He's had to take a team with the head, Sir Alex Ferguson, running the show, very successful, title championships, and he's having to try to take it on and go, here we go. It's Champions League, they're done. I think they're gone. I think that's out of the picture. I mean, I don't think they've ever been this far down ever in their history. And coming into, I mean, they only conceded 9 at Old Trafford last year. They're at 8. They've doubled that since they've been at Old Trafford in points. And people basically, I don't think the fear of going to Old Trafford is there anymore. At least this, I think it's gone. David Moyes is going to have to earn that back. They're going to have to earn that back. He's going to have to win that. And it's I wouldn't want to be in his shoes. I just don't. But that's enough about Manchester United, I think. And it hopefully will turn around. And if not, then we'll see what happens from there. I post a lot because I'm a nice guy. And I get a lot of flack. I tee a lot of people off. And some of I think they're just like disagree with me, but you know, I'm tired, and this is probably the last time I'll probably talk about this a lot, but I won't talk about it too much today. But I'm so tired of the double standard in this world where liberals are just as double standarding as Republicans. When I disagree, when I say that George Bush, Lord help us, he was horrible. Barack Obama's worse. Barack Obama wasn't worse. Okay. I don't remember Bush ever saying, I got a pen, I'm going to pass whatever law I want. That's what really scared me, and not many people realize this. In his couple of State of the Unions, especially this last one, he basically had Democrats cheering the fact that when he basically said point blank, I don't need you. I've got a pen, I can pass a law, I don't need 60 votes in the House or Senate or anything. I don't need any of you guys. I got a pen. I got executive order. And they're cheering on the fact that he's saying, you're worthless to me. I don't need you. And he has set precedents, in my opinion, so that whoever they get next as president, they will not, they know that they can just pass whatever they want, that they don't really need the Congress or the Senate. Scary. Scary, scary, scary. And people still back the guy. Praise the guy like he's Christ. It just infuriates me. And it affects, because I always joke that, well, I can quit my job now because now they got Obamacare. I don't necessarily want to have my job is for health insurance. And that's what they talk about on NBC. Well, now, see, 4 years ago, if you wanted to quit your job to spend more time with your kids, you couldn't do it because that's where the health care came from. Now, you can because you got Obamacare. So what happens if everyone just decides to quit their job so that they can spend more time with their kid as it grows up and be there and be the mom or the dad? And you have all these people all of a sudden, well, Obamacare is there. Well, who do you think's paying for Obamacare? You, the taxpayer. I'm just going to say this one last thing, and then we're going to move on. But my doctor said what I know the truth is. He told me this, and I don't mention his name, which one it was, whatever, out of confidentiality, but he's like, Obamacare is not going to work. It's not designed to work. And look this up. You will find this. Look it up on the internet, look it up on YouTube, whatever. Obamacare is not designed to work. It's designed to fail on purpose so that they can pass a single-payer health care system in this country like every other country has that no one wants. And they know that no Republican or Democrat or liberal would want a universal government single-payer health care system in this country. No one would want it. So they had to find a way around it to get it passed. Well, we'll do this Obamacare, which people are going to love, and then once it's in law, they can't get rid of it, and then we'll just transform it. I actually heard yesterday a liberal, for the first time, someone actually on the news goes, well, they were talking about how this law has been suspended or changed 27 times. Delayed, suspended, changed. And this liberal on Fox News said this. He goes, well, you can change the tax. It is a tax. This Obamacare is a tax, so you can change it all you want. You can adjust the tax as much as you want and change it and adjust it. Well, that's funny because when Barack Obama went out and publicized this and they said, is this being, a, this is not a tax. That's why I told someone beforehand, I said, Obamacare is going to pass the Supreme Court if they claim it as a tax. If it's not a tax like they claim, then it's unconstitutional. But if it's a tax, see, they can make you wear a purple tutu. They can make you wear a white tutu. And if you don't do it, there's going to be a tax. Well, you can wear whatever you want. No, you can't. Well, sure you can. You can wear, you don't have to wear a purple tutu. You can wear a jean if you want. No, there's a $1,000 a day tax if I don't. Well, yeah, but, I mean, it'd be like saying, you can own a gun, but you can only have one bullet. Well, how can you own a gun with just one bullet? It's like the Marijuana Stamp Tax Act. It's not technically illegal, but they're never going to hand out that stamp tax that you have to buy and have in order to get a permit, basically, to be able to grow marijuana. Well, so technically it was legal for a while, but they're never going to hand out that tax. You have to get this stamp tax in order to grow cannabis, hemp, whatever you want to call it. But since that wasn't the case, they would never hand them out. No one could ever grow it. And then they made it federally illegal. So whatever. Weather is something that's really on my mind. Because I lived in Vermont for 2 years, 2.5 years. And when I lived in Vermont, we never had school delays of two hours. And I got into a little bit with people at work, and with not people at work, but people on Facebook, and I don't argue with them, you know, and they're kind of right. If I had a kid, I don't have a kid, so you know, but if I had a kid, I'd be like, well, let's look at it here from this standpoint. If I had a kid, I can understand the kindergartner, second, third, or fourth grader, but when you know people that are 18, 19 that look like, well, where's the 2-hour delay in the real world? Okay, Walmart doesn't close. I can see how someone could say, yeah, well, it's parenting, but if you, they got decent parents, parents have, in my opinion, nothing to do with the fact that, okay, how can you have a 2-hour delay involving a high school, but not in the real world? If it's bad enough that, I mean, when I was in Michigan, there were people that, if the school is closed because the weather is too bad, they don't want to endanger the kids. How can, if the roads are that bad that they don't want to endanger kids taking them to school, how can kids be at Meijer with their parents? I must have seen a mom or a dad or both with their kids, at least 20-plus parents with their kids at Meijer on a day when school is closed. If it's that bad and that dangerous that they don't want to risk the kids out in the elements, how can they technically be able to brave the elements to go to Meijer? I don't get that. You're never going to tell me that's right. That, oh, well, I think they can, parents can take their kids to Meijer if their school's closed because the weather's bad enough for that, but it's not, it's too bad to go to school, but not bad enough to take them to Meijer. And I can see, and if you're having necessities, okay, you leave everyone at home and you go and you get the bare essentials. You get bread, eggs, or cheese, what you have to have. You don't take kids and wander around the store for 35, 40 minutes. But that's my rant on that, you know. I mean, if they didn't have 2-hour delays in Vermont when I was there, why have them now here? The problem we're having, I think, for the most part, at least where I live, is in Michigan, where I was, my sister's husband said it was 50 degrees this time, like 56 degrees on this day last year. And that's the problem. The end of February, beginning of March, it was 60, 70 degrees, where in February at this time last year, it was like 50 degrees, 40 degrees. It wasn't that cold. And you're going from 50 degrees to 40 degrees last year to negative numbers this year. It's a complete shock. It's not like it was 20 degrees or, you know, 30 degrees last year. It was like 60 this time of year last year, 50 degrees. It's a 50 degree difference. And it's just, you know, you need to prepare the young kids, I understand. But you need to start, there's no authority in this world. I know some teachers that there are kids that they could slip off and give the finger to a police officer and the parents would side with the kid. I did not in my life want my kid, want the school to call I'd do anything I could so that they wouldn't call my parents so they'd find out. I know so many people that when I talk to them and they talk about schools, they'll sit there and they'll say, if a kid gets in trouble, I want my parents on the phone now. I know one person that he passed his kids because he's had parents who have literally said, why did you flunk my kid? Why did my kid fail? What did you do? Why did my son get an F? Not, you know, where when I was a kid, yeah. See, she went to school. She has a degree to find out who's smart and who's not smart. You did not pass, and she knows that you didn't pass, and she knows who's stupid and who's not stupid. That's why you passed and some didn't. You know, my parents would side with the teachers, not the other way around. They wouldn't be going, why did you flunk my kid? They'd be like, well, why didn't you try harder? The teacher's there. She's here to help you so you can learn, so you can go on. I won't get into that because I had some teachers that when I said, I don't understand this, I'm totally lost, they didn't help me. But, you know, I want to start me to say, okay, well, then how do I learn this? How do I get this? How do I do this? How do I go on my own? How do I make my life go? not what can the government hand me, what can I be given? Where's my freebie handout? You know, I'm sorry, if a kid comes into school with a parent and the parent has an iPhone, has $100 jeans, has a Coach bag, has a diamond the size of a horse turd for an engagement ring, and both kids have iPad touches, don't tell me that you have no money for book rental and food. If you're on book rental assistance and you're on like free and reduced lunch, you need to say whoever, okay, you know, take the ring back. We need to take that money and put it towards our kids that they have food to eat. No. Because I saw someone gave me a thing and it had, well, all that stuff was gifts from people. They the kids' iPad touches and all that stuff were gifts from the family, whatever. You know, if someone has the funds to be able to give your kids iPhones at like in the sixth grade or fifth grade, they need to be taking that money and you need to be having them put it towards free and reducing so that they can help with their education. Today, now we're going to switch total topics because I usually talk about paranormal once in a while. I'm going to talk about Bigfoot. Is he real? Of course he is. He's on the internet. I've seen the video. I don't know what to think, make about Bigfoot because I've seen there are people, there's two sides of the bucket. One side, there are people that have said, I'll tell you, I've been in these woods my whole life and I've never seen what I saw that one day, and I've never seen it anything like it again. And they did I saw a special where they took these people, and they took all these, like, the most credible witnesses, people that would swear, they would go to, okay, put me in jail for 100 years if I'm lying. I believe this to be true 100%, when they took, like, the hair or whatever they found, like the hair follicles and stuff that this creature left behind, and they tested them, they were like wild boar or bear or, you know, something. I'm like, that's from a boar? Well, then that couldn't have come from that because a boar isn't on 2 feet and is 10 foot tall. I'm sorry, a wild boar doesn't stand on 2 feet and walk. The only thing I remember is that I've tried to find it, and I might have to find it and see if I can talk about it on the next show, but I remember seeing a video where this guy goes, this is the most credible-est video I've ever found, because they have like a 2-lane road, and there's like a dot down the middle, and, you know, and there's like cars going north one lane, cars going south in the other lane. And they had video from like a squad car, and this thing came across the road, and it did like, it walked across the road and left, whatever this creature was. And they said, we have tried to duplicate it, and we've taken like 7 or 8 different people from all different sizes. And it goes with both feet on one side of the road to both feet on the other side of the road in 3 steps, 3 or 4 steps, whatever. And the best we could do is this guy that was tall, he did it in like 8 steps to go from one side of the road to the other. And you can clearly see this thing crosses the road in like 3 steps. And it's just, and they said, we don't know what it is. We can't explain, we can't say what this creature, what this thing was. But no one that we had, when we did experiments trying to have this guy go across the road to do experiments, you know, to see if it could be hoaxed, no one was able to cross that road in as few steps as seen in the video. But I'm one of those people, until you have, like, DNA evidence, I don't really think there's anything out there. I think people have seen some incredible things. And, the panda bear is a very recent discovery in the last, like, 100 years. You know, so we have had animals that have been recently discovered. So when you look at it from that standpoint, I wouldn't be surprised one day someone came up, well, here we go, folks. We're at a press conference. Take it away. Yes, my name is Dr. Jason Myers, and I have here with me Sean Tumbleton, who was the man who found this hair sample from an attack that was taken on his car, and through the DNA of this hair matches no known primate, and this actually, the way the DNA sequence works on this, we can prove this to be a new creature, some sort of yeti. We can't say it's Bigfoot, but we can say whatever this hair came from, we do not have it cataloged as a species as of yet. This is unknown origin via DNA. Until that happens, I really don't think I'll believe, but I won't be surprised if that ever happens. I wouldn't be surprised if the day comes that that ever happens, that they, if they say, here's DNA proof that there is a ape-like being that's half human, half ape, that's like Bigfoot, I wouldn't be surprised, but I doubt that will ever happen. I've always been fascinated by the fact that, okay, when Christopher Columbus came across this planet, it was flat. No one wanted to go with it. And if you go back to the Egyptians way back, what happened? They knew the world was round. There's so many civilizations that are so, that are very, very, that are 20, 30,000, 40,000 years old that have a vast knowledge of our solar system. That map things out from what we can tell that this looks like this system in space. This looks like Sirius B with the planet and the star around it and all this. That's what it looks like, Sirius B. But how can they know that when we've only had knowledge of that since we've had a telescope like the Hubble Space one in space? Until we had the Hubble Space Telescope in space, we haven't had that knowledge. We didn't know a lot of the stuff that we find cave drawings that indicate otherwise. There are cave drawings that indicate things that we think are like new technologies, like the Baghdad battery. Some people think that is like, well, electricity is something new. Well, there's one skeptic that I do agree with. He goes, well, it's a battery, so what? If the battery part, if parts of it survive to prove it's a battery, nothing else survived. What are they using for? Well, maybe electroplating, you know, maybe in some form of surgery, primitive surgery, but there's nothing else. There's no, like, wires. There's no connections. There's no, like, pieces. You would think something, if that part of the battery can survive that long, something else could have survived, you know, to explain what it was used for. Yeah, you can take like lemon juice, you can take like lemons and put like two things in there, you can make a battery light up and stuff and work on all this, but so what? I mean, that's not that complicated of a theory to figure out, but there's nothing else that survived. And you would think if it was really something widely used, other tools that they used with it would have survived too, but they didn't. So, I kind of like mysteries, things that are not fully explained. You know, like the Devil's Sea and Bermuda Triangle. I think a lot of that, because they've shown where, like, if you take a, like if you were underground and there was like a crack in the Earth's crust and a piece of molten lava came up and it made a bubble of air, and that bubble of air came up, it can easily, if done right, can sink a ship so fast that there would never, ever in 100 years, be even a second to video for help. As soon as it happened, by the time you realize what happened, you'd be sinking. You'd be sinking to the point where your danger sunk. And to where your main goal would be just how to survive, because guess what? Your ship sunk, you know. So I think with like the Bermuda Triangle and stuff like that, they'll find some things as time goes on. I think they'll find some ships. And I know there are people that have claimed that, okay, when I went into the Bermuda Triangle at the same time, you know, there are people that have said that I was in a plane, and when I was over this part of the for me, when I was over technically land, I'm like, when I came out of this cloud, I was technically over land. I'm like, okay, I should still be like a half an hour, 45 minutes out, and I have like 3/4 of my fuel. Okay, I have one more fuel than I should. I have 6 more gallons of fuel than I should, and I shouldn't be over land yet, but I am. What the heck? And they said they went through like this tunnel, like a vortex type thing, like this tunnel. And you know, and they figured out, like, if he's saying what he said, which is true, this is how fast he would have to be going to do what he did in the time that they know it happened. It's not a function of, is he lying or not? They can prove, okay, yes, he flew from here to here to here. The records show that this is when he left, this is when he came back, this is what happened. And he couldn't have done that because it would have taken him... he'd had to have gone X number of miles an hour. So a lot of people have had some weird experiences that are kind of unexplainable in the Bermuda Triangle. But for the most part, I think most of it will be able to be explained. You know, like this, like a lot of people say, I think the Bermuda Triangle and the Devil's Triangle, they'll have some things, natural phenomena, will be able to explain 90% of it or 95%, but there's still that 5% like UFOs that they cannot put a logical explanation on. Okay, this object came down. Okay, a helium balloon goes up. So how can you say it's a weather balloon or whatever you want to call it? Yeah. Just one of those things. I guess I look at them because a lot of that stuff is like politics. They argue the same thing over and over and over and over. You know? Well, you know, I guess it's like the tobacco wars. We were talking about that last show, me and Don, you know, where all they did for years was only needed one person to say he could be lying out of his teeth, but, well, we had this lady smoke, and for a month we looked at her throat. How'd it look, doctor? Great. Well, I know people that have smoked for 20 years, and if you looked at their throat, their throat's probably going to be great. Kept their insides open, and you're probably going to be like, oh, my God. But there you go. You know, it's just, I mean, there's just so much double standards in this world. Like, you know, Molly Cyphers can be on dancing around on stage, half naked, screwing a donkey, and that's perfectly acceptable. But 5 guys in camouflage bowing their heads with their hat at their heart, you know, praising God. Oh, we need to take that off the air right now. I mean, I think we know our standards. I think we know what's having our standards, you know? Like Carlos Mencia said in the show, you know? ADD wasn't around when I was a kid, not real, you know? Oh, my son knows the answer, but you don't say it in Espanol. You say it in Espanol, my son understands. You know, it's like we accommodate so far to the point to where, well, the accommodations are getting to be ridiculous to the point to where, okay, well, what I have to say is, well, you screwed up the accommodations, so that's why, you know, there's 10 things I need for these accommodations. You messed one up, well, that's why he failed. They didn't have accommodations when I was there. I mean, the only accommodations I've ever really been given is more time to take a test. And if you don't know the answers, you don't know the answers. It's not going to make you do better just because you have more time on the test. You know, there's just no, you know, if a kid's used to a 2-hour delay at school all the time, he's going to start to go, well, wait a minute here. Why isn't there one? Well, why isn't our work on a 2-hour delay? What? You know, I mean, there's no accountability. You can't be the kid in school anymore. How can a kid look up to someone who can't be an authoritarian to them? You know, that's why I have a good friend. She's actually a parent. I love her to death because I love her kids because she's actually there and involved in their life and trying to teach them right from wrong. They don't have a lot of money. But what they do have is morals and values, and that's what's wrong with this. I want to thank you all for coming out and listening. God bless you all. You have a great day, and I'll see you next week on The Conversation. Goodbye, and from Lafayette, God bless you.